there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs you with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/Spotify. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required, cancel anytime.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to my travel podcast, Life's a Beach. Every week I invite a special guest to take us on a journey together to their favourite holiday destinations and to reveal their top travel tips and tales. My guest this week on Life's a Beach is a comedy legend. He's travelled all over the world performing to sell-out arenas. Well, today he's grabbed a glass of Prosecco and settling down in first class. His brilliant new tour, The Overdue Catch-Up, is available on digital download and is on DVD too. Perfect for Christmas. Buckle up, tray tables down. It's the brilliant Kevin Bridges. We got Kevin Bridges on board. How you doing?
I'm good, Alan. Is this a barefooted pod? Is this?
Well, as you've just seen, I've had a personal trainer. Now people don't believe I have a personal trainer because I look fat.
Yeah, but you look at the glow.
I'm still fat.
You look as if I showed up a bit too early, to be honest.
Well, you did, and I was so pleased because I was doing squats. But he's a bit. He's one all for the diet as well. And I don't know if I've said this, but he's like. Because he caught me having Cocoa Pops once and he said, Alan, you need to have celery juice in the morning, as if you could be bothered to make celery juice. And as he lunged, he sharted over my my yoga mat.
See, they love that, don't they? The diet. Like, well, why am I paying you then, mate? I want to pay you so I can then go and eat shite.
Yeah.
I just want to break even. It's all about nutrition. Well, why are we then?
Yeah, because I went to one, there's quite a famous one round the corner, and I didn't like the way she talked to me. And I think someone had a word with her because she was like, come on, fatty, like that. And I know you've got to try and be, but then next time I went in, she was like, oh, you know, Alan, have a breather if you want. So I think someone's had a word with her.
She actually said that, come on, fatty.
Come on, fatty.
School?
Yeah.
Paint to go back in time.
I know.
PE.
I was triggering. I know. Went back to the playground with dinner lady.
That's poor, isn't it?
So listen, where did you go on holiday, love,
so,
as a kid?
As a kid, first holiday, 1994. I remember it because certain tunes just evoke. Wigfield, Saturday night.
Da, la, 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 la. Did you ever do the dance?
Probably, because I'd have been like seven, so it'd been the kids' club.
Oh, you see, I'm older than you. I actually did the dance, because the thing is with these songs, people go on holiday and come back. Now, before the internet, so people would come back and there'd be like people going, Saturday night doing the dance. I'm like, what is this dance? And then you'd go on holiday and learn the Wakefield dance.
That's it, and then the Macarena. Yeah, there's a lot of dances to learn around about that time. And then, so there's certain tunes that just bring... instantly bring that holiday back to me. Like Everything But the Girl. Step off the train. Like anybody that went on holiday in the mid-90s, that was the kind of, that's the soundtrack, innit? All that stuff.
And God, just shows you how young you are. I used to go raving to that. Well, not to that song and that, but yeah, oh my God.
So that was my first holiday with my mum, my dad, and my brother. See, my brother's 10 years older, so he was just about on the cusp of no longer wanted to go with his parents. Yeah. He was about to go with his mates, so he'd have been 17, I was 7. So that's the first, that was the first and only holiday that the four of us went on together.
Did your mum say, oh, look after Kevin, take him with her to the older one?
And they never, just try and fob me off, just try to find me. My mum and dad were bad for that as well. They were just trying to, like, hoor me out, just try to find me a friend. So, Kevin, this is Gideon, and I'd just be stuck with somebody in the corner for 2 weeks. So, I actually looked up before I came here. This is my new favourite podcast. Because when they said to me, Alan wants you on his holiday podcast, I never knew you had a podcast for a start. No. Everybody's got a podcast.
Oh, I know everyone has.
But every podcast is too deep, isn't it?
Oh, this about, is fucking
have a
shallow.
Cold shower and breathe.
Yeah.
Oh, wake up at 5 in the morning, challenge yourself, push your boundaries, sort of self-improvement. And just talking about holidays, that's...
It just puts me in a good mood when I talk about holidays. And who ain't been up, well, Kathy Burke didn't go on holiday.
See, I listened to her episode. She's an icon.
Oh, I know. Hilarious. When we got her on, was like, wow.
That was my favourite. I listened to about 5 episodes, but Kathy's was...
Yeah, she's great. But then you realise some people didn't go on holiday and it was sad, weren't it? But boy, she got some funny stories. She's just great, isn't she, Kathy?
I know. I think my mum and dad would have probably sold me to get a holiday. Like, just... I don't like that. We never had we never had a lot of money or whatever back then. No. But that was the first time we went. And then after that, it was like, I think we came back. That was back in the day when you would immediately rebook. So if you booked it a year in advance.
So
we'd come back for the holiday and then my mum and dad would get right down the shopping centre, right into like AT Maze or Thomas Cook, whatever it was called.
Yeah.
And you would just book and then pay it up every week.
Yeah.
To go again the next
year.
But, and getting the catalogue and having to look through, you know, the catalogue, what's it called again?
Brochure.
The brochure.
Well, I had a slaggy friend. She used to count how many men were in the photos on the page of the thing and then go, I want to go there. If there was 12 men on the COS page, she went to COS.
That's it. And a lot of you had to just take a risk, see, before TripAdvisor. You had to just go on the pictures.
Yeah. And listen, I'm sure Peter Kay has done material on this. Well, I know he has for a fact. But the CFAX, you know, getting it cheaper on CFAX.
That's right.
And then you would wait. There'd be 100 pages for weather. And you'd wait, and if someone rang the doorbell and you went out for S for Spain, you didn't know if it's going to piss it down or be sunny. But I feel like an old, I'm telling young people, you had CFAX. Nowadays, you know if it's going to rain at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, CFAX, sun.
Who was the guy at the quiz? Bamboozle? Was that Teletext or CFAX?
Oh, yes, Bamboozle.
You'd get a quiz every day of the week. And
did you ever see the missing people's page? I'm not taking the piss out of anyone who's gone missing, but it was like, then they just do a block of what the person looked like, but they all look like Lego.
I think they had the grant. Imagine that was the extent of the inquiry. That's how little people gave a fuck that you were missing.
I know.
That they contacted Teletext.
Black hair and blue eyes. And then a Lego picture. You're like, unless the person did actually look like the Lego. Can you imagine? Wait a minute. Oi, square head. So where did you go on holiday? Because where are you from again? Clydebank.
Clydebank, just outside Glasgow.
And sell me Clydebank. What's that? Is there a crane? I've heard the cranes on TripAdvisor.
It's a big industrial kind of place.
Is that the thing you go? Is that top crane?
The Titan crane. Yeah. That's it. So I'll be trying to sell Clydebank as a tourist. I'd recommend it.
No, because I don't want people on here because the cost of living crisis, you know, we're all mincing on about, oh, I love the Maldives, oh, I love that, but I want to sell Scotland.
Aye, go a real holiday, aye, of course.
Yeah, sell me this crane. If I came up to Clydebank and you said, I said, come on, Kevin, take me out, right, I want to see the crane.
So you'd fly into Glasgow, nearest airport, and then you would take you'd probably 20 minutes away. Where would I stay? This is actually quite a good angle. If I was to go a holiday in my hometown,
yeah.
So we've got a hotel, we've got a couple of hotels. I'd stay like the Beardmore.
Sounds like Vegas.
there's the Beardmore Hotel. That's a nice one. That's where all the kind of business kind of people stay.
Yeah.
And then I don't think there's any other ones, but that's where I would stay. Yeah. And then you've got the Strip. You've got the Clydebank Shopping Centre. Go and check out all the vape shops.
Love a vape.
I don't know.
Everybody's tried it, haven't they? It's a pathetic addiction, isn't it? I was a couple of years ago laughing at them, but then you end up a couple of beers. Let me try that, and that's you. You're in.
And now it's that hubba bubba. You're like, oh,
it's embarrassing.
You think, oh, this is good for you?
Hanging about outside
shops. Your lungs are going, thanks, Alan. This is great.
Asking kids to go in the shop to buy you one because you're too embarrassed to go in.
Is this what we do when we get declined?
So you've got the shopping centre, and then no, it is. There's a bit of history there before passing on my hometown. It was a big shipbuilding place.
Yep.
So World War II obviously built a lot of the big, strong. It got flattened in the war, but only flattened because it was making such a strong contribution to
all that stuff.
And then the Singer sewing factories where my dad and my granddad and everybody before him worked. So quite industrial. Then the arse fell out of it in the 70s and 80s.
Is that where Billy Connolly?
Very close.
Yeah.
He grew up in Govan and Drumchapel, which are really close. So he worked. He was a welder, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So the same area, same kind of Clydeside.
Because it's interesting, because I was reading his book while I was on my tour last time, and he was sort of saying how he doesn't travel anymore because he's sort of done it with comedy. Not comedy spoilt the travel, but, you know, you can't... Is it because it has for me, when I got on a plane, I have to go, no, Alan, you're going on holiday now, you're not going to work. It has spoilt it.
It's a good feeling to see my wife. She still gets excited about airports and flying, but I'm jaded. God. But it is good. You need to readjust. See, when you're going there for a holiday rather than work, and you get to just whiz on past the Starbucks, straight to the Witherspoons. But no, this is a different me. This time, you don't need to take your laptop out of security. You're just here.
Now, I'm a bit of a snob when I start morning drinking before a flight. I will have a pint. I love a pint. I'll have half 5 a.m. in the morning if you've got one of those cheap
flights. A pint and a fry up.
Yeah. I sort of look down on the people who have the white wine and the red wine.
That's just degenerate. it's too much. A white wine, a red wine, doesn't it compliment a fry-up, does
it?
A pint. And even
pint
if they're...
Guinness, yeah, I get. But why? Why are you having a Rioja with some fried bread?
You need to have an intervention. Pull them up.
You've got a problem.
That's when you're officially on holiday. See, when the bags are... That's when the holiday starts, isn't it? As soon as you've lost the bag, you're through security, you're sitting down, you've got something fried and something alcoholic, and take the picture of the boarding pass and the passport, send it on. I think that's overrated, though. See the early, ridiculously early flights?
Oh, yeah.
I'm a bit fed up with that because I think it just ruins the first day. You get there, it's good at the start, and then you're drinking at 5 a.m. and you're excited.
And you're miserable as sin.
But you're just exhausted.
You're miserable as sin. And also, you can't check in to your airport. You can't check into your hotel. And you're wandering around till 3 with a cat. You're homeless.
I know.
And you're pissed and you're homeless.
You're welcome to take a shower in the gym, and then you're just standing in a gym shower stinking
about. Before
you know it. I've got a son, right? My son's two.
How's that changed now? How's travelling changed now you've got a son?
It's a different holiday, but it's a lot more to do with getting up early, obviously. Mm. So you need to get your drinking done during the day. No. But I've never been at the breakfast buffet as early. That's quite cool. I got there when the bacon was like rock solid.
You know when you come down late, like 1 minute to 10, and they all scowl at you. And basically,
the sausages are solid.
The skin off the beans.
And the staff are raging.
you could wear the skin off the beans as a mask if you were in COVID.
And it's the staff.
They hate you, don't they, when you come
watch
in?
Watch this. I'm going to ask this guy for a poached egg.
Oh.
Just to light the fuse even.
No, even I'm not.
So
that,
no, I'm doing well early. And then it's good because I love my wife. She just loves sunbathing. Right? I'm a pool guy.
Yeah.
I'm a big kind of baby, really.
That's good.
So now I've got a mate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now I've got a pool pal. So she loves it. She can just go and read and whatever. And I've got a wee mate.
Yeah.
And what I'll notice in any parents who are listening, see inflating Lilos and dolphins and crocodiles, it's extremely difficult over the last couple of years. So I don't know if you interact with the listeners or people texting.
Is it because you're vaping?
That's the go-to, isn't it? Maybe I've got popcorn lung.
Maybe you're having blowback. You're blowing the vape air into it and it smells of blueberries.
I remember being on holiday as a kid, right, and you'd get a Lilo, a couple of blows and it's up. But now it's so, you need to hold it. And I don't know if it's a health and safety thing. I don't know. Blame it on COVID or Brexit.
I can't inflate anything now.
Brexit.
I've had to get Brexit.
But that's the two big...
Brexit breath. It's a big... No one's talking about it right now.
Brexit breath. There's Nigel Farage. He's got breakfast. He's got Brexit breath, isn't he? He's like a kind of fags and coffee.
Oh,
like,
I know,
supply
I know.
Teachers. They had terrible breath, didn't they? Anyway, Brexit breath, isn't he? Write that down.
Yeah.
Copyright that.
I've got Brexit breath.
I've only been two holidays with my son, and I found that like, my head was ready to pop, try to inflate these wee... toys. Anyway, carry on.
But you know, can I give you an advice? And people are going to listen to this. Alan, you've changed. You're not working class anymore. I've got a machine that you pump up. It right. does take up a lot of luggage space. Yep. it's an industrial pump.
I don't believe it.
No, you can, and you put it on.
You've got a machine specifically
yeah,
for
it? Yeah, because I've got the swans. You know, the big swan? Which
right.
when you do in the pool, people do give you dirty looks because it is too big.
Aye, that's there's got
I
to
never
be some.
Have a day off, Alan.
There's
it's
got
the
to
gayest,
be some.
It's the gayest water thing you can have. Everyone's got the rig, and I come out and a swan vaping with my glass of prosecco.
So, have you got an actual machine to inflate your
yes!
swan?
Yes, get them on yeah. Amazon or other places.
And you take it on holiday.
Yeah, take it on holiday, and then people are like poo pooing it. But then when the bloody Lilo goes down, they want to come on Alan's sucking machine. They want a blowjob from Alan Carr.
We have a missing person on our flight today. If anyone sees a passenger with a boxy hairstyle, stumpy legs and hands that look like they're holding a giant sausage, can you please report to a member of staff? Thank you.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs you with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/Spotify. Curology. Skincare with a face. Subject to consultation. Subscription required. Cancel anytime.
The holidays have arrived early with Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale. Upgrading window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact. Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Browse premium blinds, shades, shutters. We have your patio covered too. And get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Free shipping and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale now. Save up to 45% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Now listen, we want to talk about your most decadent holiday.
I can tell you've just been to the gym, Alan. I can feel the dopamine.
Oh, God,
you're,
I am.
You're buzzing.
I'm off me
you're tics. Euphoric, man.
I might start lifting you up. I hate going, but do you know what? You're right. I do feel I've got... I know he pushes me and he says things to me like squat deeper, deeper, deeper. Because that's all they ever say.
Engage the core.
Engage the core.
You've got one more in there.
I do like it though when he pats me bum and says, come on, get those glutes in. I'm like, oh, thanks.
So, do you see when you go on holiday, do you use the gym or?
I pack me. It's like... I pack my gym kit and my trainers, but it's like when I used to do PE at school, you know, and I'd rugby. My mum would take out the white shirt and the no mud on any of the boots. Did you have rugby today? Oh, yes.
I'd just go and stamp them in the grass for a bit.
No, but they're like immaculate because I just used to dodge the puddles.
When I go on holiday, everything I'm packing, I kind of forget who I actually become on holiday. Yeah. Like I've got so many different versions of myself. So I'm packing, I'll take my gym stuff, I'm packing like books, for example. I'll take three books. Like I've probably read two books in the last year. I'm going to read three in a week. But you've got this image that I'm going to be this savant lying around the pool with Dostoevsky sat on. But
I read something on Instagram. Someone said, "What when you pack, why do you take about like the amount of pants... Like you're going to shit yourself three times a day.
You need to take one pill.
You go for a week and then you've got like 27. What am I going to do? Piss myself?
I think you need to factor in one loose bowel movement. So I think I would multiply. How many days am I going? Seven and then seven pants. And then you've maybe a pair of substitutes.
Yeah, just in case you're sharp.
Shitting yourself every day. That's you really need to be speaking to the head chef at the resort. But I'd take one pill. A backup pill's acceptable, isn't it?
Yeah, backup, yeah. And then socks. I always pack too many socks, of course. And
socks,
you're wearing sandals all bloody day.
And then you always need to pack a hoodie. That's your mum, isn't it? Stuck in your head.
Yeah.
Take a sweater just in case it's cold at night. Wherever you're going, that just stays in there.
So where have you been? Where's the most decadent place you've been? I've had a butler. I've had a pillow menu.
I done a safari, right?
That's decadent.
That was like on a bucket list shit. Yeah. 2019. And it's actually where I proposed. So I had this planned in my head, right? So we went over, we went to Kenya, the Maasai Park.
Oh, wow.
Amazing. You did the
game. If you said like Woburn.
I went to Blair Drummond Safari Park.
Chester Zoo, I wanted to propose.
we need to promote these places at home. I wonder if maybe climate change, people will become a resort.
Maybe Clydebank will be the new Mauritius.
Oh, the Spanish. No, when you start your descent into Spain and you look out the window and you see all the swimming pools and the gardens, I wonder if that will be. They'll look out and look at all the trampolines. I wonder if they get the same when they're descending into Glasgow. So the safari was by far, that was the most opulent, decadent, whatever.
Yeah.
You got mega early. You go the game drives because you need to get up at the same time as the animals. You know what I mean?
I actually did a safari and I took my mum as a treat for a big birthday. We get in the double bed, Alan and Christine in rose petals on the bed. Everyone thought, oh my God, he was like older women and God, her husband's gay.
Was it like the teepee thing?
Yeah, yeah. We go in there, Alan and Christine and thing, and they're always like looking, they just thought, what the oddest couple ever.
So we never put the net over one night.
Oh.
And then we get in. We went for dinner, we get showered, went up for dinner. I think we put the do not disturb on, so they never came and done the turn down service where they get it already for the night. And it was just infested with insects. Some of them kind of scare. No, like insects can be scary.
Yeah.
When you're in a country where you've had to like get vaccination and you're thinking of malaria and shit like that. So anyway, stayed there, done the game drives, and then about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, you start coming back in, and then they turn and say to you, we're just going to phone ahead to the camp. What cocktail would you like for the turn your hot tub? Fucking unbelievable. Yeah, anyway, I don't live a lavish lifestyle, but holidays is the one.
I love it. I mean, you've got to have a bloody holiday.
What's the point, man?
And safari, if you're going to bloody, did she know? Was she scooping her hand in the dessert where's the ring?
No, because I actually had to hide that from her the whole time. So I done a joke about it in my start. Like, I'm the only guy who smuggled a diamond in to Africa. So I'm having to hide this every time. So you go to Nairobi first, right? And you stay in a lovely hotel. Mm. And the next day you get in one of the small kind of flying doctor type planes down to the game resort. I fucking scary. I don't have a fear of flying. The bigger the plane, the safer.
Yeah.
I've felt these small ones that are like, oh my God, feels like flying. Mm. So anyway, we land in the game resort, and all the while I've got this. So every time we check in, I'm like, where's the safe? Mm. And my wife's like, well, you never care about the safe. And I was like, I know, just shut up. We don't know where we are. And because I'm trying to hide this ring.
Yeah.
So at the end of the safari, it was my wife's birthday. And then I've tried to, you can overthink it, a proposal. Mm. I was just like, how am I going to do this? We booked a nice table, ordered myself a beer. My beer arrived right away, but I'd ordered myself, my wife, a Prosecco that never came. I had to go up and complain. And then they're like, it's just coming. And it was like, 15 minutes.
Oh, and I bet your heart was
going.
And
you're just starting to go, this is all just going wrong. And then you start going too deep. Maybe this is a sign, man. Maybe this is... And then eventually the guy came over and then I said, listen, mate, I want to actually propose. So I told a couple of the staff and then they said, would you like to come down to the beachside bar? And they'd opened it just one table.
Oh.
So the beachside bar closes, when the sun goes down, but they reopened it again.
Yeah.
And my wife said, this is good. It's quite quiet in here and it's only us. And then I couldn't think of an excuse to like go away and actually get the ring out of my pocket and get it. So I was like, I need to go to the toilet. So I said that and I got up, stood behind her. She pulls out her phone, starts texting or whatever. And I came back again and proposed. So there we go. So that was by far... Yeah. The bucket, the safari and all that
stuff. Yeah, that's amazing. But also quite cynical as well, because if she said no, where could she go?
I know.
If she ran off, she could have been eaten by... Imagine if she went, no, and then just ran off. And then you see in the distance a lion just jumping.
I don't even...
No.
People need to start factoring in the no, because it is a bit... I know that sounds romantic, but only because she said...
No, mate, no.
Maybe that's why she never said no.
I know why he's picked a safari. She's got to say yes. It's a long walk home through the bush. It's not the bush, is it? The safari. Is it bush? Plane. Crossing the Serengeti. I've got to get home. I've said no. Heat blaring down.
That was the Seychelles. So I done the safari, and then part of the deal is you spend 2 days.
That's nice.
Because it's quite full on it. It's a lot of drive, a lot of early starts.
Yeah.
And they recommend going somewhere to chill out. So done the safari.
That's lovely.
And flew across to the Seychelles.
Oh,
and
that's nice. And it's saying yes as well at the end.
Here on Allan Air, we do not approve of smuggling. So can the passenger who's just shut out 2 rubies, a sapphire and an 85-carat diamond in the bog, please report to a member of cabin crew. Thank you.
Have you ever had one of those lads' holidays where it's just lads? Even I've had a lads' holiday.
See, I started stand-up, straight after school. Yeah. So I missed that whole...
Oh, you never went to Fallaraki, had a phone party, never had a facial tattoo?
All my pals went to... Mallorca, Santa Ponsa when they were 17. Just the kind of school weavers one. Mm. Or people that get chucked out of school holiday one. And I remember being in the back of a van in the Isle of Skye. Yeah. Because we drove up there and the guy who was headlining the gig worked during the day delivering water dispensers to offices, right? So he had this contract in the Isle of Skye. So it tied in that he would come up, drop all these water containers the next day. Mm. And we would go in the back of his van. So it was me and a comedian, Paul Perry. Mm. We were in the back of the van, driving Glasgow to Skye 7 hours, right? We're running late for the gig. So we're having to phone into the front of the van saying, can we stop for a piss? And the promoter and the headliner's driving his van, the promoter's in the passenger seat. They're just saying, nah, we need to get there because the guy's going to pull the gig. And if he pulls the gig, he'll pull the accommodation because the gig's in the hotel. So we just need to boot it. Oh. And he's like, just piss in the back of the van. So I was like, for fuck's sake, 2 days of pissing.
Yeah.
Don't know if you ever pissed in the back of your moving van, but every time the van turns, the piss can I go, it's like a tsunami.
Oh, God.
So after, once you've broke the seal, a couple of hours later, we have to go again. So we get to the Isle of Skye. We're way too late. The traffic was a nightmare. The guy just pulls the gig, pulls the accommodation. Yeah. The promoter tries to kick off a bit, saying, oh, come on, we've drove all the way up. You need to at least give us a room for the night.
Yeah.
We're sleeping in the back of the van because the headliner still needs to stay overnight to deliver these water dispensers. So me and Paul Perry slept in our own piss in the back of a van whilst my pals are in Mallorca, right? And it's one of them moments you go, do I really want to be a comedian?
Yeah.
And if you push through their moments, then you end up in Alan Carr's lovely London flat. So I don't regret it, but that's my story about my mate's lad's holiday. Yeah. So, and when you're on a safari... And a decadent holiday, you go, that was worth that.
Of course it was. but you know, when you start a tour, people don't realise, you don't go straight into arenas, do you? You've got to try this stuff out. And some of these places, I put the miles in to try it out because sometimes, and I've been bitten in the past, you get journalists coming to ones around the M25 and they take things down. Because I mean, my last tour was about Adele marrying us and all that. So the next day there'd been a journalist in there and they'd taken all the juicy bits out. And of course, and the punchlines as well.
I know.
So I put the miles in. So whenever I do it, I always do it so it's away from the press. And do you start like that? I mean, it'd be in these village halls and anything. But what reminded me...
The witness protection tour. You go on all these kind of March and April before the big tour, you just go to...
You do, didn't you?
Chipping north, a lot of Brexit breath in the audiences. But it's places like that kind of toughen up the show.
Yeah, because you don't want people going, oh, you're going to go, these people like, this ain't funny, but you need that.
Definitely. And the failures, without sounding like an actual podcast. But a lot of the process is losing your ego. Because I've just finished my tour.
Yeah.
So the last gig I done was in front of 3,000 people, and it's the finished. You've got your show, you've got your stuff.
Yeah.
Then the next gig I'm going to do is in front of 40 people in a pub doing 5 minutes of stuff that is probably going to fail.
Yeah.
But the one or two bits that work spark off the idea, and you go, right, I'm going to build on that.
Yeah.
And then you start, and that's the exciting bit, innit? See, when you get a new bit that flies.
It's amazing. But what I was saying was, I remember Susie Ruffle did my support for the first time, and we were in this tiny village hall on the moors, and there was no backstage toilet. And once the people were in, you couldn't go out. And Susie Ruffle had gone, Alan, it's a real honour, you know, because I've watched your DVDs and, you know, Friday Night Project and Chatty Man, and then cut to me 5 minutes later pissing in a cup in front of her. Because I always need a wee before I go on.
Same.
And
it's
I was
just
like,
nerves.
Oh, no, you know, do I chat to her? Then it looks a bit...
No, because if you go to the toilet, with the audience, yeah, then it can go either.
Oh yeah,
either
yeah,
way.
Yeah,
because so somebody can just say, because you're so in your own headspace.
Oh,
that,
I know. And then
they
told me, people don't realise you get nervous, don't you? And you're like, you know, you're not in the right headspace. So I chose to urinate in front of Susie Ruffle. Not my finest moment. I turned me back.
We would like to welcome on board the multi-talented, award-winning, iconic stand-up comedian and presenter, the one and only Alan Carr.
Your overdue catch-up DVD, it's out now. Where did you film it?
We filmed it in the Cork Opera House in Ireland.
Oh, that's a good gig.
Everybody always asks, why did you record it there, except comedians?
Yeah.
Because you've played
they're
it.
Amazing.
That's so close, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's gorgeous theatre as well, gorgeous opera as well, amazing.
The other ones I've done specials, as you need to call a DVD these days, I've recorded in the big arenas.
Yeah.
And I wanted to try and put across like what stand-up's like in a more informal situation. I wanted to record it in a club, to be honest.
Yeah.
But then they said that's just too small because the time you bring in the cameras and the crew.
Yeah, yeah. That's going to affect the audience
the
as well.
The crowd will get a bit spooked.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was the smallest we could get before it being self-conscious for the crowd. Yeah. There's cameras in their faces and they're lit up. So I remember I played there in 2015 and I loved it. So I thought, why don't we record it over in the Irish audiences?
Oh, God, they're amazing.
Mental, but the good side are mental.
Yeah, yeah, they are up for a party,
and there's people shouting at mad shit during the show, but we just kept it in. I think sometimes the recording, you want it to be the most polished version of the show.
Yeah.
But I think now people like to see something a bit different with stand-up because I've seen so much stand-up.
Oh, of course.
So, to try and capture a live night, get it as close as possible on the camera before they leave in a few of the mad... people just shout at random shit.
I'm glad you're that because then I'm not even sometimes with my stand up and stuff, you can lose the actual energy in there. So I filmed one for Sky this year at the Hackney Empire. Oh my God, I love that bloody place. But because I sweat so much and I was so nervous, the makeup woman gave me these blue pads to put on my back.
Right.
I was so sweaty, it actually slid down my trouser leg and came out the end of my shoe and looked like a sanitary towel.
But during... when you were recording?
Yeah, recording it, yeah. I haven't seen it yet, but I think it's funny and it got a big laugh. But it's one of those crazy shit things that it's funny and that's what happens.
The audience that night will be there. We were there that night.
Yeah.
And that was a live
sanitary
moment.
Sanitary towel gate.
Aye, that's not going to be there every single night. I'm imagining it get that big a laugh every night you try to recreate it. Just going to...
Where is it? I'm kicking my leg up. It's got to come out in a minute. But it's blue. These ice packs are blue and it just looked like... Yeah, I hope so. Well, watch it. It's on Sky 30th of December if you want to see if my sanitary towel does come out.
I heard amazing. A couple of my mates went to see your show. You sorted them tickets and they said it was exceptional.
So. Oh, thank you. That's really sweet. So listen, so when you go away, do you do street food or are you a bit safe? What do you do?
I eat anything.
Anything?
People think I'm a basic bitch when it comes to food. I think it's the Scottish kind of stereotypes.
Yeah.
But there's not a thing. I don't like anchovies. That is the only food.
Oh, no, yeah, yeah.
And that's pretty obvious, isn't it? Who the fuck likes him?
We're about to arrive in Glasgow here. Put your tray tables up. Okay, the new...
Yeah, we're about to start our final descent. Okay, quick fire round. Mojito or mint tea?
Mojito. Obviously, circumstances.
Of course. 5 a.m. 5 a.m. at Luton Airport.
In fact, I'd probably never go for a mint tea. Mojito.
Mojito, it's got to be, isn't it? Alcar or Alcatraz? Would you rather go to prison or go on holiday with TV's Alan Carr?
100% go on holiday. As much as I loved Alcatraz. We were there on honeymoon, went travelling through America.
Oh, look. Safari Inc. was it when you asked her to marry him? Honeymooned in Alcatraz. There you go. Oh, bloody hell.
Because we seen a couple arguing in Alcatraz. Look, there was another, we'll go over on the boat together, so you're in this and you end up talking to other couples or the other tourists. Yeah. And we seen this guy arguing with his missus. Yeah. And then he went to storm away. And she was like, "You're in fucking Alcatraz." Yeah. It was like, "No, where are you going, mate? Like, you can't escape here." But that was really good, man.
I love that. That was my highlight of San Francisco when they really interesting.
I've never been big into like, doing the touristy stuff because it's always a bit, you go and look at the Eiffel Tower, that's exactly how I thought it was going to look. But Alcatraz was the one that was really eerie, innit? You still feel it.
Like, and then did you see the room where the man had made the heads out of cement and then dug out with a spoon? Ingenious. Look at that. They made this head. So it looked like they were in the bed to free people to escape from Alcatraz, and then they made a boat out of a raincoat. You're like, "Oh, I think so you should have really needed to
innovation in prisons before space." they used to get things done. There's not going to be good good prison movies anymore, and it's just people.
But I was like, "Oh god," and we don't know if they did escape or whether they just disappeared, but they made a boat out of a raincoat. You got all that effort digging out a tunnel with a spoon. Imagine how long that's taken, and then you're like, "Oh, we are. Just get this Mac on."
That was I loved.
So but was you surprised though? How I thought it'd be like serial killers. It was like tax avoidance, shoplifting, burglary. You're like going to Alcatraz for that.
Did you meet the guy, the oldest living inmate? He was at the end of the tour. He was there signing copies of his book.
Must have gone on a VIP ticket. I thought he was still locked in the cell.
No, I bought his book. And it was, I got him to sign it for my dad, just saying, like, "Nice to meet your son in the jail," or whatever, something like that. Like, but I obviously double checked why he was in Alcatraz, but I'm not saying it's only, but it was nothing to do with, like, nobody get killed or.
No, old kiddies.
Nobody.
Love spending time with you, kiddie fiddler.
No one was killed, nobody was fucked. It was a tax thing.
Because you know what it's like now, because if you have a photo with him, sick Kevin, and you're like, "I don't fucking know who I'm having a photo with."
He's the oldest living Alcatraz inmate. I think it was something to do with money anyway.
Yeah, I mean, if he was too bad, they wouldn't let him in there signing books, would they?
Exactly.
And last but not least, tip him or fuck him. Do you tip, or do you think, "Fuck you, I'll never see you again, I'm keeping me money"?
Tip. It's a stereotype I hate about people say Scottish people are tight. I think it's bullshit.
I don't
know where that started. Definitely not in Glasgow anyway.
No.
I can't speak for like Edinburgh and all that, but I don't think Glasgow, very generous city. I'd tip 100%. Especially these days, because staff are working for these big corporations.
I know, and then the bloody 10% ain't even going to
I hate the contactless tip. I think it's, you always need to, because you feel bad now because you don't always have cash. So see when like you're in a hotel or whatever and there's bits, you would always.
But then I feel when you have cash and then you hand it over in cash, you look a bit dicky.
A bit, I know. It's a very American thing, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah. But especially when you slide it down their cleavage. Waitresses don't like that.
It's worse with a card. Yeah. Or worse with an arse crack.
Thank you, Kevin.
There we go. We're finishing on arse crack. Well, nice one.
Thank you for flying Alan Air. Oh, Kevin, thank you so much for flying Alan Air. That was wonderful. And don't forget, Kevin Bridges, The Overdue Catch-Up is out now on digital download if you're down with the kids. And if you're old like me, it's on DVD. Listen, it's hysterical. Go and buy it. Thank you so much for flying Alan Air and to all our frequent flyers. Fly for me!